All the pastors are going to play a role and are going to teach a couple of the sessions each. We're going to teach them at all of our churches. But as we thought about our different churches and we prayed and we tried to think, okay, what does the Rock need? What does our body of believers need? And the more we thought about it and the more we prayed about it, God led us to this particular series called Grow Up. Grow up and own your faith. And that's the name of the series. And I get the distinct privilege of starting it off tonight with the topic of prayer. And oh my goodness, I can just touch on a little tiny bit. But hopefully I can just inspire you. I can share just a little bit with you how prayer has just completely transformed my life. And it can yours. And I think sometimes it's just so simple and it's so available and it's so there that we just so miss it. I don't get it. But we're going to talk about ways to maybe to stir that back up. And I think we all need to be stirred up. I know I'm feeling pretty convicted and I want to share some things with you tonight about that. So let's start with a Bible verse. I like this verse in 1 Corinthians. Paul writes, the Apostle Paul, I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? You know, you guys have probably heard of the Willow Creek Church, a church in Chicago that is a mega church. They've grown tremendously. It's a mega church, one of the big churches, and many churches even around the world have gone and tried to figure out what Willow Creek was doing, try to imitate what they were doing, because God had to be doing something there because it's just growing and their numbers were just out of this world and all kinds of money was coming in. So it was obviously God's hand. God was at work. So anytime they'd put on a seminar or a satellite feed to teach people how to do church, all the churches would go, okay, did you see what Willow Creek's doing? What are they doing? What are they doing? Well, there's an interesting article that came out from Willow Creek not long ago, and I want to read a little bit of it to you. But what they did, a study, some of the leaders of the church did a study and just to see how effective they were. And their findings were pretty shocking. Kind of blew away the pastors. Bill Heibel is the guy that has headed this whole thing up, and he was pretty shocked. And let me just read a few things that they were talking about. And this is the report. They're talking about the report. The report reveals that most of what they have been doing for these many years and what they have taught millions of others to do is not producing solid disciples of Jesus Christ. Numbers, yes, but not disciples. It gets worse. Heibel's laments. Some of the stuff that we have put millions of dollars into, thinking it would really help our people grow and develop spiritually, when the data actually came back, it wasn't helping people that much. Other things that we didn't put that much money into and didn't put much staff against is stuff our people are crying out for. If you simply want a crowd, the seeker-sensitive model produces results. If you want solid, sincere, mature followers of Christ, it's a bust. In a shocking confession, Heibel states, we made a mistake. What we should have done when people crossed the line of faith and became Christians, we should have started telling people and teaching people that they have to take responsibility to become self-feeders. We should have gotten people, taught people how to read their Bible between services, how to do the spiritual practices much more aggressively on their own. Incredibly, the guru of church growth now tells us that people need to be reading their Bibles and taking responsibility for their growth. Oh, my goodness. We need to be self-feeders. Each and every one of us. The Rock Church has grown quickly. Oh my goodness, it wasn't that long ago when me and Bill were praying up on the hill that there was only his family and my family. Now we have it's not that unusual to have 1,000 people visit our churches over the weekend. We have got to be self-feeders. And the very fundamental, the very core, the very start, the very beginning, the very end has to be prayer. And you and I need to understand that. Because this church isn't going to go anywhere if we're not a praying church. Your life and my life is just going to flop if we don't pray to a holy God that created us. It's that relationship with God that we need to cultivate, and it needs to be real, and we can't be distracted by the rest of the world, which it tries to suck us out of the game. It's that that we need to hold dear to our hearts, and we need to grow up. You and I need to grow up in our faith. Honestly, we have a lot of baby Christians. I'm not that old of a Christian myself. I didn't get saved till I was 37 years old. So I'm still kind of sucking my thumb too. But God's starting to teach me some things. And one of those things for sure, it's my responsibility to grow. I don't care how good of teachers we have at the Rock. I don't care how much money comes in. We need to communicate with our God, our holy God. It all has to start there. Before you even come to know, before you even can start a relationship with God, before that even starts, you have to come to Him and pray to Him. Come into my life. There has to be a communication. At some point, you say, well, I've never talked to God. Well, you'd better. You'd better. This is serious. But prayer is beautiful. There's some things we can talk about tonight that I just can't wait to talk about, because somehow God uses it to stir up my faith, and I need it stirred up. We all need to be stirred up. We all need to encourage each other. I like this next verse, Apostle Paul again in Corinthians. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. We need to put childish ways behind us. I mean, if you really want a full life, if you really want a revolution, if you really want to see what an amazing life can give you, there comes a time to put childish things away. And boy, are there childish things available to us on this planet. And I'm constantly distracted by it. But God says there's so much more. We have no idea. I've only scratched the surface. Me personally, the closer I get, the more I talk and have relationship with God, it's like, oh my goodness. That is God. The bigger steps I take in faith, and I'm totally dependent on Him, and He comes through, that experience, oh my. God is real. And the more He really becomes in my life, the more I make decisions for Him, the more I can obey. Quicker, faster. Okay, I hear you. That's you. Okay. And that's our God. And that God is available. And He is always, always, always there. He is always there in your deepest, darkest moment where you're most busted. And I'm sure some of you probably are tonight. You're at a place where this life sucks. It's that place. God is right there. He's just saying, I'm right here. You just turn to me, and I'm going to help you through this. Matter of fact, I'll be happy to carry you through it. And that's our God. But we miss it. Sometimes I don't know what it is. I think it's Satan's biggest lie is to distract us. You know, busy, I like the acronym BUSY, being under Satan's yoke. You know, I'm too busy. How could I pray? Come on, man, I've got to get to work. We are too busy not to pray. We've got too much going on not to be praying about it. And tapping into that power, we need to be praying to a holy God to direct us, to lead us, to guide us, to protect us, to show us how to do it, how to do this walk of faith. So, grow up and pray. Grow up and pray. I'm talking to myself. Grow up and pray. And I'm talking to you. I think God would say that to us. Grow up and pray. Church, my bride, grow up and pray. Like this verse, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. That's a good verse. That's so true. I like this quote, Hudson Taylor. Do not have your concert first and then tune your instrument afterwards. Begin the day with the Word of God and prayer and get first of all into harmony with Him. That makes sense. That just makes sense to me. Of course. I need to get in harmony with my God before I run off without Him. I like that quote. Another verse I like in 1 Peter, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. The Bible's real clear, and if you've lived much life, you know that life is short. It is but a breath, the Bible tells us, like a fleeting shadow, like a shadow going across, like the shadow here from the light. Just, whoo, whoo. Life is going by. So quickly. It's going away. Why wouldn't we talk with a holy God so we don't take the wrong steps? We want to stay on the right track. And prayer is that way. Prayer is a way to be led by God. Like this verse by Charles Spurgeon, who has some powerful, powerful sermons on prayer. I had to read some of his sermons on prayer. Short prayers are long enough. Well, Charles Spurgeon prayed a lot of short prayers. And he changed the world. God used him to change the world in a lot of ways. Well, this 8-part series is called Grow Up Owning Your Faith. And each of your 4 pastors are going to do 2 parts of it. And we're going to cover topics like prayer, conflict resolution, personal devotions, evangelism, discipleship, finances, worship, and one surprise topic. But we're going to grow up in our faith. You know, really, guys, let's not just play church, okay? I don't want to be part of a club. I don't want to be part of a seeker-sensitive church that it's just all about numbers. You know, I get thrilled when I say the word 1,000. I think, woo, man, this church is rocking. Well, I hope it is. I hope that our roots are going deep, and I hope you're self-feeders, and I hope you're not depending just on Friday night or Saturday night or Sunday to carry your faith, because it just won't cut it. It's got to be your personal thing that you do, that you pick up, and your disciplines, and your consistency. Consistently, day after day, we need that daily bread. And you and I need to get these disciplines in our lives consistently. And you know why? Because Jesus himself said, I came so that you might have life to the full. And that's why this topic is so near and dear to my heart, because, you know, I don't necessarily know all of you, but I want you to have a full life. Don't miss it. I don't want a single one of you to miss out on the full life. Become more intimate with God. Apostle Paul was intimate with God, and we could imitate his faith. And throughout the scriptures, when he talks, it's just obvious that he is so in love with God. And his relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, is just incredible. I like this verse. And really, this is what it's all about. It's going deeper in our relationship with God. Taking a step as far as we can into a relationship with God. Going deeper with God. I like this in Philippians 3:10. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. And that I may, in that same way, come to know the power overflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death. Now, this is from the Amplified Bible, and it's a little paraphrasing there, some of the brackets in there. I like what they put right in the section, and says, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. That's what it's about, going deeper. You know, my prayer life is pathetic. I'm sorry, I'm convicted. Studying this out and trying to talk to my God and listen to him, you know, and I have committed quite a few years ago to an hour a day of prayer. And that is just, you might think, oh, you're a prayer warrior. That is just pathetic. That is 1/24th of a day. 1/24th. 1/24th. My God deserves so much more. And I don't always hit it. You know, people come to tell me, you know, I prayed about that. Did you? Well, what'd God tell you? Well, I prayed about it. Well, did you hear what he said? Did I? Really, the church worldwide, prayer, it's just pathetic. It is. I just want to stomp like a little baby. I don't know how to be passionate enough for you. I don't know how to shake you up on this topic. I don't. But it's real, and it has to happen. And I'm here to tell you what little bit I've learned about praying to my God, about faith situations that I've been in, that I've been desperate, and it was the Holy God that bailed me out of it. Oh my. You know, that hasn't happened that many times in my life. But there's been a time or two, or three or four or five or six or seven, where that was God. Undeniably, God is real. God is living. He is now. It's not something he can do. He is now. He is now. God is real right now, right tonight. And he wants you to communicate with him. He wants me to communicate with him. It has to start with prayer. And if you never asked him into your life, there's one verse that you need to hear tonight. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's a prayer. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the initial prayer. At some time in your life, there has to be a prayer. There has to be a communication between you and God. And he wants it. He's drawing all people to himself. He is. He's drawing everyone to himself. And he just wants you to make that choice. He wants you to turn to him. And why wouldn't I pray for my wife? Pray for your wife. Pray for your husband. Pray for your ex-wife. Pray for your ex-husband. Pray for your kids. Pray for your church. Pray for your friends. Why wouldn't we pray for our job? Why wouldn't we pray for every little tiny thing? It is all from God. Everything that we've ever had or ever will have is from God. He's just said, here you go. Here's this planet. Check this planet out. It's amazing. It's for you. It's a gift for you. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, God. Time is now. I don't know what to say to convince you. Please pray. Don't miss it. Don't miss out. We must be a praying church. And when we talk about revolution, it just ain't going to happen if we're not praying. Like, I don't know what I can do. I don't bring any gifts to this. You can pray. Oh, my goodness. Every single one of us can communicate with God, no matter how quirky our personality, no matter how out there we are. God created us. He created you. He created me. He knows every little thing about you, and he knows how to communicate with you. And you can communicate with God. He's the King of Kings. You can approach the throne room. He's extended his scepter in the person of Jesus Christ and said, come to me. You have my ear. Yes, I am the king of all, of everything, but you have my ear. You can talk to me, and I love you, and I'll hear you, and I'll pay attention to you. Oh my goodness. That's available. That power is available to you and to me. So let's move along. Prayer is a many-faceted phenomenon. What I want to talk about tonight, this topic is so wide and so huge. I want to talk about some facets of prayer. That as I sought the Lord for tonight and what I might share, there's six different facets of prayer that I've looked at and I've prayed about and I've thought through, and God's kind of laid on my heart that I want to share with you guys. And each and every one of you got one of those little bookmark prayer cards. And our thought was for that was for you. It's blank on the back, so you can take a Sharpie or erasable marker or whatever you want and use that prayer to put different things on there. Now, there are a number of different programs that are good for us to help us remember different aspects of prayer or different facets of prayer that I'm going to talk about tonight. And I would suggest, or you could, I'm not saying it's the only way, but take these six facets and write them down like a heading on that prayer card, six different ones. These aren't the only ones. There's a six that I came up with tonight, and there's one at the end that might have put was supplication that I didn't put on here. There's different things, like I know quite a few people that use the simple ACTS. It's just an acronym to help remember a prayer, just a procedure of prayer. ACTS, A standing for adoration, C standing for confession, T standing for thanksgiving, and S for supplication. That's just one thing that some people use just to help them be more prayerful. And that's what these facets are that I think could be. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my bookmark, and I'm going to write these six things down there. And when I pray through my day, I'll try to incorporate each and every one of these. So let's take a look at some of them. I like this verse. The Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright pleases him. You're upright if you know Jesus. C.T. Studd, I can't wait to spend time with this guy in heaven. We Christians too often substitute prayer for playing the game. Prayer's good, but when used as a substitute for obedience, it is nothing but a blatant hypocrisy, a despicable Phariseeism. To your knees, man, and to your Bible. Decide at once. Don't hedge. Time flies. Cease your insults to God. Quit consulting flesh and blood. Stop your lame, lying, and cowardly excuses. Enlist. Ooh, that's stinging me. But bring it on. Let's stop messing. Let's grow up. Let's let God rock the world through us. And people look at our church today and say, that rock church, those guys pray and pray and pray. Maybe people say, well, what has happened in Rock? How come so many people are going there? Because they love Jesus Christ. You see them praying all the time. Praying all over the place. May it be. May it be so. I know I'm convicted. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to try to put things in place so that I can pray more. It's critical. It's absolutely critical. Let's start with communion. Prayer is communion. I like this verse. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The Psalms are so beautiful, so prayerful, so emotional, so relational. I love the Psalms. So relational. Especially David, between David and God. It's just, there's a love affair there that's just undeniable. A love affair of prayer, relationship that goes deep. And prayer is, it's communion. Last night at the Provo Church, we broke bread together. And there's just something about remembering what Jesus Christ did for us. There's a communion between us and God that needs to take place. And that won't happen if we're not communicating, if we're not taking the first step. I like this verse. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. The things that we have seen and heard, the things that I have seen and heard, I just got to tell you, God is real. He changes lives. He's changed my life. I don't even recognize what it used to be like. God is doing it. He's living it and active. I've seen and I've heard things, and they're from God. If I hadn't been paying attention, I haven't been praying, if I hadn't been in a place to hear Him, I would have missed it. What a boring life that would be. No thanks. Communion. Next one is adoration. He deserves to be adored so much. How great is your goodness, the psalmist writes. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. I adore God. And, you know, I think it started because He adores me. There was no one on this planet that adores me like God. You know, just look at His creation, would you? I love green grass. I like mowing the grass sometimes. I like flowers. I do. There's certain things. I like the sunset tonight. Oh my, did you see that? I like to taste certain things like chocolate. You might find this word, pickled herring. I like that once in a while. But God knew that, you know, and He could have made things black and white. He didn't have to make a tree blossom in the spring with a beautiful flower and then produce fruit, just delicious fruit. God didn't have to do that. But He loved us so much that He created a planet. It's just incredible. And in the fall, the fruit falls like in our hands. The fruit, we can reap it. There's such analogies there of our life. It's just incredible. And then the leaves turn vibrant. That is God. He didn't have to do that. You know, there's certain aromas. There's certain things. There's eyesight. Oh, my goodness. Touch. There's things in your life that God has put in place just for us, just for humankind. Is He worthy of our adoration? Oh, my goodness. Every ounce of our being ought to be spent just adoring Him. Oh, my goodness, God, thank you. Thank you for my babies when they were born. My babies, my children when they were born. Oh, my goodness. You didn't have to do it like that. But he knows how to get our emotions. You know, we have a new puppy in our house. And I hate him and I love him. I forgot what it's like to have a little baby in my house. God didn't have to make His ears so soft. You know, my kids have been trying to get me to get another puppy for a long time, and I finally caved in. And now my heart just melts like wax when I look at that little guy bouncing around. God didn't have to do that. He didn't have to make men and women so beautiful. Inside and out. He didn't have to love us so much that it changes us so that we love others. But He did. We can't even begin to comprehend. He didn't have to make the universe and the stars and the planets. But He did. God is so worthy of our adoration. So that's two, like a communion and adoration. Two facets of prayer. A prayer of thanksgiving. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Forget not His benefits. You know, most of us are not going hungry. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that I can stand here tonight. God has given me the health. Thank you that all of you got to come here tonight. That God brought you here. That he has something to say to you. Thank you, God. Thanksgiving. Thank you for your death on a cross for my filthy sin. Thank you that I'm washed clean, white as snow. Thank you for your blood poured out in the streets for me. We all have something to thank God about. And that is a part of prayer. Communion, adoration, thanksgiving, all of that somehow fits together in relationship with God in prayer. Well, that just fit. Oh, thank you, God. Oh, thank you for that. Thank you for that parking spot. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. I really didn't want you to teach me that lesson, but thank you that I'm a better man because of it. Thank you for letting me fall on my face. Thank you for letting me put my foot in my mouth. Thank you for me being in a place where I have to ask my wife and kids for forgiveness. Because you love me so much that you give me tough love too. Because you want me to grow. Oh God, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for those hard things. I don't understand them all the time. Most of the time. I don't understand. Oftentimes I have people tell me, why? Why is this happening? I don't know. But God does. In Romans 8:28, it tells me that God works all things out for good. And no hurt will ever be wasted. It's all part of the tapestry that he's putting together. Thank you, God. Thank you for that. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, when he died, the very purpose he came to this planet was to die on that cross. He said, "It is finished." Oh, hallelujah. You and I, we don't have to work. We don't have to do a bunch of things to get to God. He did the redemptive work on the cross. It is finished. Hallelujah. Christ died for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, past, present, future. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. We should be thanking him for that every single day, so much that it's part of us. It's part of that relationship. And when people talk to us, if they poke on us for very long, pretty soon, boink, it comes out. It's Jesus Christ. Everyone needs to know that. Everyone needs to hear that. Prayer is confession. Confession is necessary. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Remember, I just said, Christ died on the cross for us, okay? He said, it is finished. So we still are a broken humanity, and we continue to sin. And we're called to confession. Now, we don't have to continually go back to God and say, oh, forgive me. Forgive me for doing that. Forgive me, God. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. We don't have to keep putting Jesus back up on the cross. Okay, that forgiveness was done once. One death on the cross, one resurrection from the dead paid for those sins. Now, we're certainly called to repent. God does not want us to lead a sinful life. He has better in mind for us. And as we have that relationship with him, with all these different facets of our faith, is that as vibrant? He changes us. He promised that he put the Holy Spirit in us. He changes us. So like the woman at the well, we will go and sin no more. This is repent. Repent is a change of mind, a change. Turn from your sin. Don't do that anymore. Go away from that. Turn from that. Repent. So my prayer is, because I have to do this, because I make mistakes, is, God, well, first off, I confess it. God, that was wrong. I sinned. That was a sin, God. I recognize that. I repent. I turn from that sin. And you are a holy God, and you paid for that, and I thank you for that. and it's gone. I'm not called to wallow in my sin. You're not called to wallow in your sins. Like, forgive me, God, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. I can't believe I keep doing this. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Whew, wait a minute. You've already been on the cross. You already died. That's a real thing. That's happened. It's over. It's canceled. Its work is finished. But I do repent. That's wrong, God. And I'm gonna, with your help, by your grace, by your mercy, I'm going to try not to do that anymore. Help me with that, God. Help me so I don't go back there. Help me. I need you. I need you, God. Help me with this. He hears us. And that's relationship, and it's real. It's relationship with God, the Creator. That's relation. That's real. That's life. That's where life is found. Don't miss it. Confession is a part of prayer. It's definitely a facet that fits into that. You have to plug into that. Prayer is intercession. I watched a video today. It's pretty convicting. K.P. Yohanan, Gospel for Asia. We need to intercede. We need to be intercessors. What's that mean? Well, to petition the Lord for others who don't know Him. To intercede for others. To intercede for others. And I'm going to share part of my prayer life with you. And I don't do this to brag or say that I've got it all figured out or not. But for some reason, I think it's been about 8 years now, God has just laid it on my heart to pray for others. And past co-workers, friends and family, neighbors, different people that I'll meet, and I'll just put them on my prayer list. Boink. So every morning when I get up, I turn the coffee on, and I go to my little spot in my living room, and I go to my knees, and I say the Lord's Prayer. I say the Lord's Prayer just between me and God. I think part of the time God just kind of waking me up, praying between God. But yesterday I wrote down those names on a piece of paper just because I was curious. Well, how many people am I praying for? I'm praying for over 100 people by name every day for the last 8 years. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just saying that God wants us to intercede. And I would suggest, K.P. Yohanan suggests, you get a world map. Okay? And rather than being a worldly Christian, pray for the world. If you have a family, your friends and family, you'd be praying for countries. Pick out a country. Pray for Italy. Pray for Poland. Because we'll be going there in July. We're taking a team of people in July. And there's a huge interest in this. We may have up to 50 people going to Europe this July. We're taking a group of musicians, and we're going to go to Italy, and we're going to go to Poland. And Europe is, what I want to say, they are dead to the gospel. It's really rough, hard ground. And I would ask for your prayers to help us, our team. Because if God isn't in it, if we don't bathe this thing in prayer, if we don't get out ahead in prayer, we're really just going to waste our money going over there. Join me in prayer. Please do. Pray that there would be divine appointments right now. There'd be men and women that God would be preparing their hearts and be pointing them towards us. So when we come in July, throw our concerts, crazy Americans trying to share our faith with them, they'll come up and there will be language barriers and we'll be out of sorts. We'll be dependent on God and praying for God. But I'm convinced He's called us to go do that. And He'll show up in a big way. But there's an element of prayer that has to go in that, an intercession. And if you're interested in being part of that, you can go to our website. It's been updated. We've changed a few things. So if you're interested in being part of that team that goes, February 11th will be the deadline for an application and a $500 non-refundable deposit. But you can go to our website and get information about it. But we are called to intercede. K.P. Yohanan talked about the 1040 window. Did you know that there are billions of people that have never even heard the name Jesus Christ? We don't have to go to India. We don't have to go to Afghanistan. Places, Turkey, where maybe they haven't heard of Jesus Christ, but maybe you would be called. Maybe I will be called to go somewhere like that. Are you willing? Are you ready to go? We can have global impact, you and me. We can have global impact with our prayers to a holy God. Because the world is small to God. Be praying for the world. Intercede for your friends, for your family, for your coworkers, for your church. I like going into places like if I go to a concert or if I go to a sporting event, God just put on my heart to pray for everybody there. Just pray, oh God, save everyone in this place, God. Look at all these people, Lord. They're lost. I can tell. I can tell, God, that most of these people probably don't even know you. I pray for them. I pray you'd save them. Rescue them from slaughter. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. I pray for people. The more you pray for people, the more people are in your heart. Because that's what's on God's heart, is people. It'll just soften your heart. And your relationship with God will be more. It'll be bigger. It'll be so much more. And your love, the love of Christ, will flow out of you. And thinking of others and praying for others. Petitioning God for them. We need to be doing that. You and I need to be doing that. Take that card. I challenge you to take that card and write some names on there. Put some people on there. They need your prayers. Put some people on that list and pray for them every single day. And be faithful. Be faithful with that. It will change you. And God might even save them. You know, for my list, very few have I taken off the list. But one is enough. One is enough. Last night, God was kind enough to save a young man at the Provo Church. He stepped from death into eternity. May we not become numb to that. That is a miracle. That is incredible. That's why we're on this planet. Don't miss it. Be a part of it. Be interceding. Pray for people. Pray for divine appointments. I like this verse. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. May this world be saved. May my family and friends, and co-workers, everyone you run into, be saved. Finally, prayer is submission. This is always a tough one for us, isn't it? Submission. As man abandons his own desires, he surrenders his will to God's will. That's so hard for us, to surrender to God's will. To give in to God's will, to surrender. It's a big step into salvation, to surrender. Okay, I place my faith in you, I surrender. The picture painted all throughout the Bible is of a man and a woman, of a bride of Christ. And whether you realize it or not, we are the bride of Christ. The church is collectively God's bride that he's drawing to himself. You and I are part of that. Somehow we are the bride. And for guys, sometimes that's awkward, but get over it. We are the bride of Christ. And the pure picture of that, the bride of Christ, the picture of that, if it just with me, let your imagination go for a little bit. Submission. Ultimately, between a man and a woman, do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Typically, this verse is for a husband and wife to completely submit to one another. Physically as well. Well, let's picture ourselves. And don't let your mind go too far with you here. We you and I, ultimately, we are naked before our God. Inside and out. He created you very intentionally. He created you just a certain way. Inside, he knows every little tiny thing about you. Mentally, physically, spiritually, before God. You are not hiding from anyone. Maybe on this planet, but God sees you just like he saw Adam and Eve. Why are you hiding from me? I can see you anyway. There are no secrets. You are my bride. And I want to help you to be the very most complete you can be. For me, I'm going to turn you into be and just like Jesus Christ. I'm going to put myself inside you. And there is a transformation going on. There's a sanctification going on for our entire life. Submission is beautiful. And it's what we're called to before this holy God. And I think it's a big part of prayer. Because prayer, we have to stop our selfishness, the me, and turn to God. You. I submit to you, my God, my King, my Comforter, my glorious Father, my Daddy. I submit to you, my husband. I'm yours. And that's what we're called to in prayer. And I think all these facets somehow work together. I like this verse. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Jesus Christ is a picture of submission. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you glad that he submitted to the cross for you and for me? Oh my. So all these facets are part of prayer. And like I said, I think another one would be supplication, the asking. That's a whole other teaching. He wants us to ask. He wants to come. He wants us to come and ask him. Any good father would. Just come and ask me. Just come and ask me. The supplication. But communion, adoration, thanksgiving, confession, intercession, and submission. Somehow, I think all those woven together, put together in relationship with God, in prayer, in communication, and submission. What prayer is. Please, I beg of you, pray. Make time to pray. Make time to pray. We must. It is not an option. We need to grow up and pray. So to close this message, let's pray. Lord God, you're so worthy of our prayers. Oftentimes I don't even know how to pray to such a magnificent God. Oftentimes I'll come and go, God, that sunset. Oh my goodness. But God, you hear me. Somehow that's real, you say, when three or more gather in your name, that you're here with us. I trust that you're here with us right now because we're gathered in your name, Jesus Christ. That's why we even came here tonight. It is all about you, Jesus Christ. And we pray to you. We adore you. We want communion with you, Lord God. We thank you. We intercede with you for others, Lord God. Confess. Repent of the sins that we so often fall to. Thank you that you died for them. And we, in the best way we knew how, as brothers and sisters, God, as your children, as your bride, in all her glory, as your bride, the perfect bride for you, we submit to you. You're worth it. You can have all of us. You can have all of me, God. Take me, I'm yours. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.